This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Xiaoning and Philip. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic threw into sharp relief the digital divide that exists in Malaysia as work and learning migrated online for the past 2 years. Despite estimates of internet penetration in the country reaching 89% of the population, there are many pockets that still lack access to stable internet connection.
The experience of university student Vivonia Mosibin going to extreme lengths to sit for online exams is just one example of the connectivity gaps that exist. Over the weekend, the Ministry of Communications and Multimedia announced that it would allocate 4 billion ringgit to install fibre optic network hubs in 4,000 schools across the country. Similarly, the Ministry of Rural Development also announced it was working with the Communications Ministry to upgrade internet services for 700 kindergartens.
Now, initiatives such as this will go some way to address the digital divide. But given that the government launched the Jendela Initiative to improve connectivity nationwide, in tandem with the ambitious aspirations under the My Digital Blueprint, how much progress have we actually made on this front?
So joining us for a better understanding of the state of Malaysia's internet connectivity network, we speak to Dr. Rachel Gong, Senior Research Associate at Khazanah Research Institute. Good morning, Rachel. Thanks very much for joining us. So let's start with the recent news that the government is allocating 4 billion ringgit to upgrade internet infrastructure for 4,000 schools in the country. Now, further details are yet to be revealed, but what kind of impact do you see this having on schools and digital education?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. Well, I think that improving school infrastructure is a step in the right direction, but of course, it's really just the first step. I think it's important to note that infrastructure alone will not solve this problem of digital divide or really improve meaningful connectivity. And what I mean by this is that schools face a lot of resource constraints. I mean, not enough teachers, not enough facilities, not enough after-school support and so on. So while improving connectivity at the schools is very much in line with national digital goals, but laying cables and building towers, even in remote and rural areas, that's just the first step to ensuring that we have high-speed access in schools. And so, what we really also need to be doing is ensuring that there are enough devices for students who need them, ensuring that students know how to kind of maximize the potential of what options the internet and internet connectivity affords to them.
So this
infrastructure development has to go hand in hand with improving digital competencies of teachers and parents, and of making sure that good quality devices are affordable. And then there's a thing that I think often goes unnoticed, which making sure that it's safe for students to go online, and with safety here really ranging from the more technical aspects of protecting their data, making sure that they don't fall prey to predators and bullies and things like that, to really helping them deal with more subtle digital literacy things like social media messaging and the kind of peer pressure that gets amplified in, echo chambers and networks online.
So you're saying this is really a first step of a multifaceted issue that needs to be solved. But can we just take a step back, right? With this big picture number of the 89% internet penetration, right? Does that really reflect the state of internet connectivity in this country, this 89% number?
Right. Okay, so there are a couple of ways that Malaysia measures internet connectivity. And one way is the way that the MCMC, the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission, does it, which is they measure internet penetration using administrative data and those kinds of estimates. So they'll take the number of active SIM cards or the number of active broadband subscriptions that's reported to them by telcos and service providers. And then they divide that by the estimated population and the number of buildings and premises in the country. So there you get an estimate, a statistic that tells us, internet penetration is at about 128%, which means that there's about 128 SIM cards indicating mobile broadband connectivity for every 100 people. But this 89% statistic is measured in the way that the Department of Statistics does it. And they get these statistics slightly differently. So what DOSM does is they'll go out and survey a number of households, and they'll ask these households, has anyone in this household accessed the internet in the last 3 months? And so from there, what we know, what this number tells us, is that at least one person in about 9 out of 10 households has accessed the internet in the last 3 months. And so this, you know, this leads to a variety of interpretations, right? Mm-hmm. So on one end of the spectrum, it could mean that basically all the adults in an urban household, and probably most of the children as well, will have internet access. And at the other end of the spectrum, it could mean that somebody who's in a remote household, somewhere, you know, where it's hard to get internet access, did travel for work, let's say, in the last month or so to a place where they got internet access.
Okay.
And so the reality is probably somewhere in the middle. But I would say if anyone is interested in reading more about this, KRI does have some research that looks at some of these numbers on meaningful internet connectivity in a book that we published last year called Network Nation.
Now, Rachel, I have another question, and that was related to the first point you made, that internet connectivity is only the first step if we were talking about digital education. And you highlighted so many issues, right? Whether there are enough devices, whether children should be taught how to maximize the potential of the internet. We are in our third year of the pandemic, right? How much of this has been implemented? Do you think the policymakers have done anything on that front then?
Yeah, so that is a great question because there's quite a few plans underway. And as you mentioned earlier, everything is sort of, you know, under the big umbrella of the digital economy blueprint. And that's the master plan that's driving all this digital transformation and so on. But specifically in terms of policy plans out to improve connectivity, there is JENDELA, which was previously the National Fiberization and Connectivity Plan, the NFCP, and that's really concerned with improving infrastructure and you know, getting more cables and towers and things out. Then, of course, now we're looking at the 5G rollout plan, which is under the Digital National Berhad, DNB. There's an effort to convert what was previously called the PIKs, the Pusat Internet Community, that were meant to be access points for, you know, less disadvantaged communities, to convert those into PEDIs, Pusat Ekonomi Digital Keluarga Malaysia, so that you could provide a broader range of digital services to low-income communities. In the last couple of years, the budgets have actually included allocations to provide digital devices to students. And then there's, you know, the broader picture of the digital transformation of public sector services meant to improve, you know, getting these services out to people. And so while the pandemic and, you know, the MCOs have kind of moved things along and resulted in a lot of changes in the way that we do things, between that and the rebrandings of all the things that are going on, I find it quite hard to get a good read on progress in terms of impact felt by people. The JENDELA website actually does publish updates on its KPIs in terms of, you know, we've moved from 93% to 95% coverage in areas and things like that. But as I said earlier, you know, building the infra is one thing, but if the user experience is not improving, if speed and performance continue to be inconsistent, then I think much more work remains to be done.
And earlier you were talking about just the various aspects involved in narrowing the digital divide in the field of education. If we look more broadly, I guess just digital divide in general, what are the main policy gaps that you think need to be addressed by the government in order to effectively bridge this?
Right. Thanks. I mean, so in my opinion, there are actually two policy gaps, and not just when it comes to the digital divide, but around public policy dealing with inequality more generally. And the first of this is the lack of representation of different needs at the sort of policy prioritization and decision-making level. And the second is a lack of local-level community authorization and empowerment. And what I mean by this is really a lot of digital policy and technological development has been driven by economic motives. The intent here has been to build a resilient digital economy. And I think that's very important. But I think, you know, equally important is making sure that we're taking care of the social well-being side of things. And if we want to close inequalities, the digital divide, or any other kind of inequalities, we do need decision makers who are representing the interests of the vulnerable and the disenfranchised.
And that's why, and I think, go ahead, Rachel.
To do this, I mean, I think we do need to try to empower local communities to call attention to their needs and then to be given resources to find their own solutions. So, of course, you know, when we talk about this broader infrastructure framework, that needs federal government-level direction and resources. But last-mile connectivity, That may be a more localized issue, right? Mm. And connectivity challenges and solutions are not universal. So the challenges of, you know, improving connectivity, let's say in northern peninsula Malaysia, will be different from the challenges of improving connectivity in rural Sabah. Mm. And so a solution that works for, let's say, Penang might not work for Sarawak. The one thing I think also that's quite important for us going forward is going to be good digital governance. Because I think it's clear that, you know, digital technologies are going to be a big part of our lives, and we really need to get a handle on the big picture and try to, you know, to think future forward and plan ahead for that sort of thing. But that's probably a whole other conversation.
Rachel, thank you very much for talking to us this morning and just laying out the different issues that are present when we talk about the digital divide. That was Dr. Rachel Gong, Senior Research Associate at Khazanah Research Institute, giving us her thoughts on how to bridge the digital divide.
I mean, I think for me, very interesting was the 5G perspective, right? Whether it's a tool for digital economy, but not for digital social infrastructure.
Lots of things to talk about. We'll have more conversations on this in the future for sure. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.